There's nothing on earth that compares to the Catholic priesthood. And today, priestly vocations are booming. Welcome to Vocation Boom Radio, the show that highlights the glory of the priesthood and promotes priestly vocations through exciting information and lively interviews with priests, seminarians and their families, vocation directors, seminary rectors, bishops, and those with a passion for promoting vocations. Here's the host of Vocation Boom Radio, Jerry Usher.
And greetings. We welcome those of you to the program who have an opportunity to tune in today. Maybe you're preparing for a Saturday evening vigil mass. Thanks for tuning in. This is part of the overall Vocation Boom initiative. We have this radio program. We have our TV show on EWTN television, on our website, our award-winning website, which is vocationboom.com. It has information for the discerning mind and heart, and also information, prayers, and resources for those of us who are vocation supporters, because we all really should be supporting and encouraging all of the young men that we know to consider the priesthood, not push them in that direction. But we all have, I'd like to say we all have an obligation to at least ask the question, God, what are you calling me to do with my life? And for some men, it's going to be priesthood. Of course, for some women, it'll be a religious life. The majority will be called to marriage, but we want to make sure that our young kids today, as they grow up, they have that understanding of that. It's an obligation before God, but it's a holy, it's a beautiful, blessed obligation. God would not impose anything upon us that would not bring us happiness and that he would not bless abundantly in a million ways. So today we have the opportunity to talk with Father Dan Schmidtmeyer. He is Director of Vocations in the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. They are having a lot of growth in their vocation program. The men are coming forward, and we are grateful to God for that. Father Dan earned a Bachelor of Science in Agriculture and a Master of Arts in Education at Ohio State before he entered Mount St. Mary's Seminary of the West in Cincinnati. He got a Master of Divinity there. Upon graduation, he was ordained in 2006. He has served as parochial vicar for 2 years before being named pastor at Holy Angels Catholic Church in Sydney, Ohio, where he spent 6 years before being named full-time director of vocations a couple of years ago. Father Dan, it is a blessing and really a joy to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be with you today, and great after being in this assignment to finally get a chance to talk with all of you.
Good. Well, before we talk vocations, I've got to ask you, and there's a reason for this question. Do you still have a strong affiliation with Ohio State, and are you a football fan?
I am a football fan. I love my Buckeyes. The high school I went to, when I was in high school, it was so small we didn't have a football team. So the first football game I ever went to was an Ohio State game and fell in love with it. And, yeah, my Buckeyes are incredible.
Okay. Well, I told you there was a reason I asked.
Often.
What's that?
I said, as a priest, I don't get to watch many of the games because between confessions, mass, and weddings on Saturdays, it makes it difficult to watch the games, but always keep up with it.
We're so glad you're with us, Father, because this the whole question, the discussion of vocations, we love to present it to our listeners. And for any young man thinking about at least looking into the priesthood, you have a vocation director here. And so while we can't delve deeply into your own situation, I'm sure Father Dan can give you some helpful tips on doing that serious discernment. So, Father Dan, I want to hear about your story. When I introduced you there, I'm hearing about agriculture and education and Ohio State, and that obviously doesn't immediately point to a priestly vocation, or did you have a sense of that, but you just wanted to maybe test other things first? Tell us about kind of the early stages of your discernment.
Right. I was really blessed. The family I grew up and I'm the fifth of six kids. There's three boys, three girls. Grew up on the farm, but my dad and my grandpa both grew up on. Faith was very important to me. I went to public school all through grade school and high school, but my public school was very different in that we had nuns who taught, and we went to mass and religion every day as part of our public school day. And so it was a great blessing to grow up in an area like that and where we heard about vocations, and the priests were wonderful, and the sisters were wonderful, and our families always encouraged it. And I still remember the first time I thought about being a priest, I was in second grade preparing for my first Holy Communion. And our religion teacher, Sister Mary Regula, she's a precious blood sister, told us that we all would be getting a call from God, and that he would let us know who he wants us to be. And, you know, we were all very excited. All of us boys were going to be priests. All the girls were going to be sisters or nuns. We were also all going to be married, be astronauts, professional athletes, and everything else. But I really thought about it a lot and talked about it and prayed about it. And I continued to do that. And then high school has started to go away a little bit, started dating, and started thinking married life might be what I want to do. Decided to go to Ohio State. And I knew right away, pretty much my freshman year, that my major wasn't necessarily what I had a passion for. I was majoring in agricultural education. I was going to teach high school ag, be a Future Farmers of America advisor. And I was kind of questioning it, and I was looking at the faith a little bit and trying to learn more about the faith. I was also asked to be a godfather for my first niece. And I took that very seriously, and I thought, I need to know my faith better. And I started looking at that a little bit more and really started praying about it, but I'm a very stubborn person, a very stubborn man, and so I wouldn't talk to anyone about it. While I was in college, my sophomore year, my niece, my goddaughter, died very suddenly, and I was very angry at God at the time, and I didn't realize that would have been a great time to pray more. But instead, I started to turn away, and I decided then I would never be a priest. And so I finished my degree. I taught high school for a year, great students, great school. Went back to Ohio State to get my master's degree, and my family had always encouraged me to look at a religious vocation, and priests did. And I wanted to get away from them because they were so good, my family was. And so kind of a silly thing, but I decided to get as far away as I could so I wouldn't have to think about being a priest. I was trying to hide from God.
Right.
And I obviously didn't know Scripture very well because I took a job out at Arizona State University in Tempe in the desert. And didn't realize God really speaks in the desert a lot. But I came back from Arizona State after a year. Worked for 2 years at Miami, went back to Ohio State, and I was working in the College of Agriculture. And I loved my job, and my faith was becoming very important to me. I got very involved in a parish in Columbus, St. Mary's in German Village, and I really started thinking about the priesthood again. And the pastor at the time, Father Mike Watson, was incredible, and he would talk to me about thinking about priesthood. And I wasn't ready to talk to anyone about it. And so I would do research online and kept saying, yeah, I can't do this. I can't afford this. I'm not good enough. I'm a terrible sinner. I'm an awful person, so I should never do this. And one night, finally, just the restlessness was overwhelming. I went into church. I knelt before the Blessed Sacrament, and I just started crying. And I said, what do you want me to do? And just heard this really soft whisper, talk to your priest. And that started the process then to meet with the vocation director, go to a seminary visit, and start the seminary process.
This is Vocation Boom Radio. My guest this week is Father Dan Schmidtmeyer. He is vocation director in the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. And you find yourself a vocation director now, Father, and yet I still am smiling as you're telling the story of fleeing, you know, kind of fleeing from God and what his call might have been. But talk about not so much your particular instance of that, but how that's really the story of a lot of young men that I'm talking to and that I interview on the show, and a lot of priests. I think sometimes people can think that a baby comes out with you know, a little Roman collar on, and it's just kind of decided from birth. But you know, this really is it's a process. And even for those who, like you said, you know, they don't feel I'm worthy. I've been down this path, so there's no way God could call me. Or, you know, I've been running and I'm afraid to kind of turn back and really ask God this serious question. God is always there, isn't he, when the time is right?
Right. And you know, it's amazing because I was afraid to turn to God in prayer when I struggled because I was mad at God for different things. And you know, if I would have really stopped to think about it instead of just feeling or reacting, I would have realized God already knows how I'm feeling, and he's there for me, and he wants to weep with me, and he wants to laugh with me, and he wants to enjoy with me. I think with my story, and it's similar to so many other stories out there, but as I talk with young men who are discerning, and they're throwing up all the boundaries, and sometimes I can't help but to laugh with them and say, you know, God's going to knock all those boundaries down if you're called to be a priest.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, part of my role as a vocation director is to help them with that. So these things you're talking about, these are things that we can work with and that you can overcome. But it might frustrate you, too, that these boundaries are being knocked down because those were your protection against answering the call.
Well, if any of you who are listening, if something has been inspired in your heart to ask a question about encouraging someone that you know, maybe you know a young man, you're looking at him, you go, oh, this guy's got all the qualities of possible priestly vocation, doesn't guarantee that he has one, but oftentimes it can be a sign when multiple people will say to a young man, have you ever thought about the priesthood? Or they'll say to each other, boy, I just really think Dan would make a great priest, or I think Tom or Jesus would make a great priest. Sometimes the candidate or the potential candidate is the last one really to be open to that. So if you have someone in your life like that and you want to know how do I converse or maybe bring this up in a very gentle, non-pushy kind of way. So, Father, you made the step. You entered a seminary. How was that transition for you? Would you just kind of describe how, you know, it's...
Right.
Describe the transition.
Okay. And I'll be honest, you know, it was really difficult. I went from being very well respected in my profession. I was starting my doctorate. I had a great place to live in Columbus. I loved Ohio State. I loved working with the students there. I loved my parish, and I moved to Cincinnati to the seminary in Cincinnati, Mount St. Mary Seminary of the West, where I knew no one. And I went from being very well respected in my profession to feeling like I was a kindergartner in a high school. You know, I'd struggled with my faith so long and fought against the call for so long that, you know, there were simple things that people took for granted that you would know about the faith that I really didn't. And so I really struggled with that. And my spiritual director at the time, Father Jim Schutte, helped me so much to see the Holy Spirit working in my life and overcoming these things and realizing a lot of the struggles I was having had to do with pride, the root of all sin. And one of the things I started doing when I went to the seminary, I would pray the litany of humility every day because I wanted to be a humble priest. And it took a few years to realize that by praying for humility, God was humbling me so he could build me up into the priest he wanted me to be. But after being at the seminary for a while, I was really enjoying it. And our seminary program in Cincinnati, the process, I think, is really good. We had pre-theology because I didn't have the philosophy background or the college seminary background. Then you do 2 years of theology, and then you go out into a parish for a year to do work, to live with a priest, to work with the people of God. And I think for me, that was the big turning point. So I saw all the work that needed to be done and how much people need a priest, and they needed the sacraments and just the desire to help people. And so when I got back from my internship for the last 2 years of theology, I was on fire. I was like, I need to do this, and I need to learn more, and I need to help. But the humility that God was helping me also helped me realize that I didn't need to have all the answers. I think that was one of the things that scared me, was, you know, I need to know everything the church teaches. And by the time I was ordained, I realized if I know 8 to 9% of everything the church teaches, I'm going to feel really good. As long as I know how to find everything else so I can help the people find the answers they're looking for.
Very good stuff. Father Dan Schmidtmeyer with us. We're a few minutes away from a break, and then we will talk some more about the program, the vocation program in the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. For those of you interested in the program in Cincinnati, the vocations, priestly vocation program, especially any young man or parents who live in the Cincinnati Archdiocese, it's a very simple website. It's CincinnativoCations.org, CincinnativoCations.org. And Father, you mentioned that that year in between the theological studies, I'm not sure if you're aware that I spent 6 years total in formation.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I did first 3 years of college, 2 years of major seminary, and then my last year in formation was that year you talked about, what we called it, a pastoral year, an internship.
Right.
And so tell us how that helped you. I mean, once you got out into the parish, obviously, as a seminarian, you can't do everything you're going to be able to do as a priest, sacramentally and so forth. But was that a valuable experience for you when you got out into ministry?
It was. It was an incredible experience. At the seminary, we would worry about writing our papers and doing these things, or writing reflections to prepare for eventually preaching. And, you would spend a month working on one reflection you were doing, and living with these priests who are preaching at least once every day. And sometimes if there's a funeral and a wedding on a Saturday, plus the Saturday vigil mass, just realizing all of these things you have to do. And the other thing I think that just was amazing to me was the opportunity just to sit down and listen to people's stories. They had great stories to talk about their own faith and their own journey and their own families, their struggles, their joys, their happiness, their work, and really feeling like I was a part of their family. I wasn't their spiritual father yet. I hadn't been ordained, but seeing how much people want to share their story and how wonderful it is to hear people's stories, individual stories, and how God has worked in their lives and the great plans God has fulfilled through them.
So when you finally got to that ordination day, Father Dan, I've been to a number of ordinations, and I was less than 2 years away from my own. And as a seminarian, you eat and breathe and sleep and drink, and every move and every breath is with a view toward one day being able to, as I like to call it, I like to say calling down the second person of the Trinity onto the altar and reaching into hell literally and pulling a soul out of hell that may be in mortal sin and so forth. So you're finally a priest here after you get ordained. Describe that if you can. I don't know if words can really be found to describe the great gift of being able to celebrate the sacraments.
Right. The ordination day itself was just incredible. I'm a fairly big guy. I'm about 6'6", very German farm boy, so we don't show a lot of emotion. And the entire time I'm walking down the aisle at the cathedral in Cincinnati for the ordination, just tears are streaming down my face, and I'm smiling ear to ear. And actually, the day of the ordination was incredible to me. I was after the ordination mass, I brought Jesus with me, a consecrated host from the ordination mass. My grandmother was not doing well. She was going to turn 90 the next day, and I went to the nursing home to anoint her and give her viaticum because we knew she was dying. And I walked in the room, and I said, "Grandma, it's Dan. I was ordained a priest today." And she looked at me, and for the first time in my life, she didn't recognize me. And she said, "Oh, Father, I am so happy you're here. I have been praying all day that a priest would come and pray with me. You are an answer to my prayers." And I was driving back to my mom and dad's afterward, and I thought, parents are the primary teachers of the faith to their children, and grandparents play an incredible role with that too. And my grandma was teaching me on my ordination day, it wasn't about me being a priest. It was that I was a priest of Jesus Christ. And that's what Grandma saw, and that's what Grandma needed. And it really helped to help me identify as a priest, that it's not about me at all. I need to be transparent so people can see Jesus Christ. And so yeah. It was a great gift for me.
Yeah, and you're explaining that as a great gift to all of us, Father Dan, because I know that a priest is in persona Christi, as we say, the Latin phrase, in the person of Christ. and really is supposed to sort of disappear. I mean, he at a priest's ordination, he receives that character, that mark on his soul of Christ that conforms him so much to Christ that he can do things that are not humanly possible, such as consecrate the Eucharist and forgive sins and confession and so forth. So that was beautiful. What a beautiful moment that must have been. I don't know, was it a little bit kind of mixed feelings for you? Like, I really wish Grandma, you know, had the opportunity to share in this moment, but still, you had that other epiphany about it as well.
Right, and just knowing she was ready to go home. She turned 90 the next day. She passed away 6 days after the ordination. And just knowing she was ready to go where God wanted her to go, I really couldn't feel a lot of sadness with it. I felt incredible joy. Doing her funeral after only being ordained for a few days was difficult. Just looking up and seeing my aunts and uncles and parents and cousins and siblings crying. But there was great joy, too. When we sang the Sanctus at the funeral mass, I would close my eyes and, you know, I'd always been told that that's when heaven and earth touch. The priest always say we pray with the angels and saints and we sing together. And I closed my eyes and I could see my grandparents singing the Holy, Holy with us. And I just started smiling because I was so happy.
Well, that's beautiful. Father Dan Schmidtmeyer with us here. He's Vocation Director in the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. This is Vocation Boom Radio. I am your host, Jerry Usher. We've been talking about Father Dan's calling the priesthood and his formation and early ministry. We're going to shift gears a little bit because a lot of good things are going on in the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. There is a seminary there that trains men, I'm sure, from other dioceses as well, but they have, for the first time, they have, well, really a record enrollment between the seminarians and men studying for the permanent diaconate. So you're going to hear it not from me. You always hear it from me that there's a vocation boom, but Father Dan is going to, I think, confirm that for us in his part of the country there. And so we'll talk more about that when we come back here on Vocation Boom Radio. I'm so glad you're here. Please stay with us.
Gentlemen, start your vocations. This is Vocation Boom Radio.
Invite a powerful and dynamic Catholic speaker to your parish, conference, or retreat.
I am God's son. I belong to the Father. He loves me. He has empowered me. And whatever challenge I face, I'm going to overcome. That's masculine genius. But let me ask you a question. What is your plan? What is your plan for achieving holiness? Your mission is in heaven. What's your plan?
Be introduced to Joe McClain.
How are you going to achieve a state of grace today? How often do you get to the confessional? Do you try to take in an extra mass during the week? Do you examine your conscience every single night? I know a lot of people, saints who get to heaven, because they laid it all on the line and gave 110%. What is your plan?
Book Joe McClain today by contacting Third Millennium Media at thirdmillenniummedia.com or call 541-212-8616 today.
Jumpstart your faith.
The world longs for the flame of your faith.
Now coming to a parish, conference, or retreat near you. World-renowned Catholic radio show host, Jerry Usher.
If we're going to be authentic men of God, leaders in our families, churches, and communities, we have to be healed of the wounds and the traumas that underlie our sins, our anxieties, our shame.
Jerry speaks about male spirituality, marriage and family life, your vocation in Christ, and more.
To be able to embrace that life of virtue, prayer, manliness, all those things we're all called to.
Invite Jerry Usher today. Contact thirdmillenniummedia.com.
Enjoy some of the best coffee on earth and help promote vocations in the church at the same time. If you like the idea, then you'll love drinking Vocation Brew, a fresh roasted premium coffee available in three delicious varieties: Morning Lauds Italian Roast, Evening Vespers Dark Roast, and Discernment Brazilian Decaf. Our coffee partner, Nosa Familia, has been growing beans sustainably and ethically for 6 generations on a family farm in Brazil. And they're Catholics, too. Fantastic coffee and an opportunity for you to assist in promotion of vocations at your parish. It's a win-win situation for everyone, since all the proceeds from the sale of Vocation Brew go right back into our efforts to encourage others to consider God's vocation for them. Place your order today at vocationboom.com. That's vocationboom.com.
If you know a man who would make a good priest, tell him so. Vocation Boom Radio.
Good to have you with us here. And as you heard there, and you often do, we one of the ways that you can support our efforts to encourage men to become priests through our radio and TV and web and other outreaches is by purchasing Vocation Brew. That's we have 3 gourmet blends of coffee. You can get whole bean, you can get ground coffee, and we work with a company called Nosa Familia. Their U.S. base is in Portland, Oregon, but they have a 6th-generation family farm in Brazil. It's home to nearly 50 resident families. It's all, what do they say, ethical, sustainable. I mean, it's just a fair trade, the whole thing. But they're Catholic. They love the priesthood, too. And so we have partnered with them. And with every purchase, we get a few dollars to help our work. You further their ability to put out great coffees, and you get to enjoy it. I'm going to ask you right now, and I do believe if you order today or this weekend, they roast and grind the beans the day you order it. They get the order, and it ships out, I think, 2 to 3 days. So will you do Vocation Boom a favor and order a bag or 10 or 3. There's flat rate shipping, so the box that they ship it in holds up to 3 bags. So if you want to save on shipping, do order maybe a bag of all 3. But I'm going to ask you, really, as a favor to us, as a favor to Jesus, the priest, and as a favor to vocations, you can help us out and help keep our ministry going. Please, will you do that this weekend? Take me up on this challenge, this invitation. Go to vocationboom.com. Please, I appreciate you doing that for us, if you would. Sorry about the delay there, Father Dan, and getting back to you, but got to try and keep the lights on here at Vocation Boom. So maybe you can share with our listeners just what you've been seeing, some trends in the Archdiocese of Cincinnati, maybe even predating your taking over that office. How have things been going, say, in the last 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years?
Right. And it, you know, the name of your show is perfect for it because there really is a vocation boom. I think it's a trend. It's moving upward. When I entered the seminary for the Archdiocese of Cincinnati in 2000, we had about 22 guys. We have about 52. We've got 52 men studying for the Archdiocese right now. Our major seminary in Cincinnati, there are 75 men studying there for Cincinnati, for different dioceses and religious communities. We have 76 rooms for seminarians. So it's definitely rising, it's definitely increasing. And so it's been a wonderful thing to see, and a lot of that's got to do with the Archbishop. Archbishop Schnur is so supportive of vocations. That helps a lot. We've got an outstanding faculty, and the vocation director I replaced, Father Kyle Schnipple, did incredible work.
Yeah, that's right. Excuse me. Father Kyle was certainly on this program and a good friend of Vocation Boom Radio and our ministry. So that's fantastic, Father, to hear. And I love the fact that you just really confirm what's going on. I'm on your archdiocesan website now, and I'm looking at the article, Largest Number of Seminarians in 35 Years. Beautiful picture of these men on the front steps of the seminary there. And talk a little bit about, I'm looking at these guys, and Father, you know, I'm impressed by numbers, you know, a little bit, but what I'm way more impressed by is the types of men that are coming in. You yourself, you had, you were not taking basket weaving 101 in college just to get through and maybe try and make it in life. These are guys who couldn't, I mean, these are not guys who couldn't get a girl, who couldn't make it through college, and this is sort of a fallback for them. But rather, are you seeing that these are really the cream of the crop among our young men.
The men I'm talking to and our seminarians we have now are incredible, incredible people. They have a great joy in their faith. They have a great zeal. And as I talk to young men who are discerning priesthood, young women who are looking at religious life, consecrated life, it's amazing to hear what they're saying. We hear all these terrible things about the millennials on the media, and maybe I'm just talking to the wrong people, because these people I'm talking to, these young people I'm talking to, say over and over again, I want to do something heroic. I want to do something radically different. Hmm. I want to do something that will lead to joy on earth and will lead these people to heaven. And I don't know for sure what that is, but that's what I'm looking for. I think that's who God wants me to be. And our seminarians, when you walk through the building, the laughter echoes through the halls. There is incredible joy and happiness and just love for each other, love for Jesus, love for the church. And I know Archbishop Schnur often talks when he's having a bad day or tough times are coming. He'll stop by the seminary for a couple of hours just to spend time with our seminarians, because they lift him up, they build him up.
Now, if I recall, you said you have 52 in formation for your archdiocese, but obviously Mount St. Mary's of the West accommodates men from other regions as well. Is that fair to say? Is that correct?
That's right, yes. Yeah. We've got a number of different dioceses and religious communities who are also using our seminary.
Well, in looking at this picture, I mean, it's obviously a bit of an older building. Could you give us a little snapshot of the history of Mount St. Mary's of the West?
Right. The original seminary, Mount St. Mary's Seminary of the West, was named after the Mount St. Mary's in Emmitsburg, one of the early bishops who started the seminary. And it was the Diocese of Ohio at the time, named it after his alma mater. And so the seminaries moved throughout the archdiocese. The building we're in now, the older section was built in 1928, and then the newer section was built in the 1960s. And so it's got a beautiful chapel. Archbishop Alter, I believe, designed the stained glass windows for the main chapel, and then the Immaculate Conception Chapel, the smaller chapel in the building. Archbishop Schnur was very involved in bringing that back and having some great beauty where it's a more intimate place to pray. And some of the faculty, the rector, Father Benedicto Kinsella, the vice rector, Father Anthony Brown, were really involved in really bringing that chapel back to life, where the men can go in and it's a smaller chapel where they can really be intimate and pray.
Yeah. Well,
we had also a high school and college seminary also. And the building we're in now used to be the high school and college seminary of St. Greg's. And then the old major seminary is now Our Lady of the Holy Spirit Center in Norwood, Ohio, which is in the Cincinnati area. And that was that's actually the home of Sacred Heart Radio.
Oh, Cincinnati. Fantastic. That's an extra little blessing I did not know about. Our guest today on Vocation Boom Radio is Father Dan Schmidtmeyer. He is a priest of the Archdiocese of Cincinnati and currently the Director of Vocations. So he is on the lookout for young men who express some level of interest, be it small for the moment or very, very serious level of interest in the priesthood, and assist them in the application process and entering formation and really discerning in a very serious way a call to the priesthood and the academics and so forth. So I recall, I think it was Cardinal O'Malley of Boston, during a talk or maybe a mass homily, said that when he first got to Boston, a number of priests advised him and said, well, you know, one of the first things you really need to do is shut down the seminary. You know, the numbers are down and it's not happening, Your Excellency. And Cardinal O'Malley said at the time, he says, absolutely not. He says, we're going to turn that around. We're going to turn the corner. And they really have. They really have made that work. And what I'm leading up to here is, I know some seminaries have shut down and because there's been fluctuation in enrollment and so forth. Mount St. Mary's of the West, has there always been a real stable type of enrollment, or were there ever any thoughts or inklings or whisperings that, hey, maybe someday we might have to shut down this building?
Right, and I believe when I was there, there were some conversations going on about that, because there were only about 25 seminarians at the time at the building. And so there were questions of, you know, is it really sustainable? And, you know, Archbishop Hlarchik was committed to keeping it open. He'd been rector there and had taught. And Archbishop Schnur came in, and I think it was a very similar conversation where people were saying, maybe we should close this place down. And he said, absolutely not. And now we're looking at, we may have to expand because we don't have enough room for all of our seminarians.
Wow, that is, you know, and that just highlights the turnaround there. You mentioned that era where there were about 25 men and now 75 and 25 studying for the permanent diaconate. So, yeah, God, the Holy Spirit, is really doing something remarkable, and I really hope and pray that those of you who are listening, you realize this. But we cannot say, okay, wow, well, this has just turned the corner, we're in great shape, because we know, Father Dan, that there are still a lot of priests who are handling multiple parishes or perhaps alone in a parish. We're not back to the days where there were 2, 3, 4 priests in a parish and our schools and hospitals always had chaplains and so forth. So what would you say to us, lay people? I mean, how can we be of help to the church and to you and in the work that you do in cultivating vocations?
Right. And honestly, the most important thing that all of us can do to help promote vocations, the very first thing we need to do is we need to commit to praying every day for vocations. Archbishop Schnur wrote a beautiful vocation prayer card. We've been using it in the Archdiocese for about 8 years, and since we've started praying it in the parishes during Mass, and the number of vocations have doubled, the number of seminarians have doubled. And honestly, I would like to say, you know, all these programs and all the busyness I'm doing as vocation director, really, it would be great to say that, you know, I'm responsible for this, but I know I'm not. Mm-hmm. I know it's prayer, asking the Master of the Harvest to provide laborers for the harvest. As I go out into parishes to preach on vocations, I hand out the prayer card to everyone who comes, asking them to take that prayer card home and pray it every day. And since I've been vocation director, we've handed out 80,000 of those prayer cards, and right. You know, even if only half the people are praying it regularly, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, it does. And you mentioned too, Father, the almost, I would call it an exhortation, maybe even a command or a mandate from Jesus, where he says, "Pray the Lord of the harvest to bring more laborers into the harvest." I know that the vocations are not dependent upon our prayers in an absolute, strict sense. God can do it any way he wants, but how much would you say that puts an obligation on us to, at the very least, pray, if not be more active in bringing about vocations?
Right, and I think it's very clear that, you know, Jesus let us know that what we ask God, God will provide if it's what we truly need, if it's right for the church, if it's right for us, and we know we need priests. And so, you know, what father would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish? You know, it's one of those things. We know we have to ask God these things, and it's so imperative that we do ask God, that we show him that we know that we need this, and that we also trust that he will provide.
Well, I tell you what, Father Dan Schmidtmeyer, my guest on Vocation Boom Radio, we will take our second break right now. And when we come back, we're going to talk more vocations in the Archdiocese of Cincinnati and really just talk about what the Lord is doing overall within the church. And I want to get into some other things that I'm looking at on your website. Father Dan, I mean, there's a tab at the top. It says, husband or priest, ? And maybe we can talk about how a young man really has to kind of delve into that and see which one the Lord might be leading him to. And also, who is the church looking for? And there's an interesting tab there called Parents' Concerns. And I want to maybe get into some of this as our time allows. I'm Jerry Usher. Very happy to have you tuned in today to Vocation Boom Radio.
Got a spare buck or two? Help us encourage priestly vocations by contributing today at vocationboom.com.
You can encourage vocations in the church and in your parish with every delicious sip of your favorite beverage. Vocation Brew is a freshly roasted premium coffee available in three terrific blends: Morning Lauds, Breakfast Roast, Evening Vespers Italian Roast, and Discernment Brazilian Decaf. Featuring beans from a sixth-generation Catholic family farm in Brazil, Vocation Brew coffees are certified sustainable and ethical, and are created using innovative roasting techniques. 100% of the proceeds from your purchase of Vocation Brew goes straight back into our work of promoting vocations through our website, weekly radio and TV show, and on-location events. Join us and taste the Vocation Brew difference today by logging on to vocationboom.com. That's vocationboom.com.
Parents, plant the seed of a priestly vocation. Jesus is a great gardener. Vocation Boom Radio.
Inspiring, engaging, life-changing. Third Millennium Media proudly presents Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Sometimes when we get put in charge of stuff, we get a little cocky. Oh, I'm in charge, huh? I'm the boss. And we forget that we are all under the authority of Christ.
Protection from spiritual warfare from Adam Bly.
The spiritual world is legalistic. The demons are bound by rules. If you learn the rules that they are bound to operate under, God's rules, you're greatly empowered.
Grow in holiness from world-renowned Catholic radio host Jerry Usher.
This region of the world longs for the flame of your faith, for the flame of your charitable witness to be a beacon of salvation for your brothers and sisters. And the responsibility is great.
Coming to your parish, Jerry Usher, Adam Bly, and Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Contact thirdmillenniummedia.com or call 541-212-8616 today.
Hi, my name is Rose Sullivan. I'm the executive director of NCDVD, who represents the vocation directors of the U.S., and we want to thank Vocation Boom for helping to create a culture of priestly vocations.
Inspiring and engaging the next generation, Catholic evangelist John Sablon.
To change this world?
Book John Sablon now at thirdmillenniummedia.com.
We're going to have to change our behavior. Don't go back to your parish communities. Don't go back to your home. I don't care how broken it is. How are you going to live out your faith? How you're going to be merciful to others? More than anything, today has been about the face of mercy in the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen? This is about your own encounter with God and the purpose and the will He has for each and every one of you as children of God. Like Psalm 139 tells us, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So if you don't answer the call that God called for you, that's a chapter in God's story of love that only you can write. Time is now for saints to be made.
Catholic evangelist and speaker John Sablon, available to your parish or conference. Book him today at thirdmillenniummedia.com.
Young men, be still and know that God is calling. Vocation Boom Radio.
Thank you for tuning in today. We know it's a very, very busy day. Okay, we have Father Dan Schmidtmeyer from the Archdiocese of Cincinnati with us. And we're going to Cincinnati, Father, on the telephone. We've got Mary listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Hi, Mary. You're on with Father Dan.
Hi, Father Dan. How are you?
Great. How are you, Mary?
Good. I just wanted to comment that one thing I think that our seminary was doing very well, they've had little events where they invite people on Sunday to come, and whether it's Vespers or Father Chris did something this fall that invited families, and all the seminarians came afterwards and had, you know, punch and played cornhole with the kids. And it was just kind of a nice celebration of our faith and of the seminarians as they were, you know, doing what they do.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I think our seminary is doing an outstanding job with. They also do the Rosary Rally with all the fall sports athletes with all the Catholic schools in Cincinnati. And so they gather around the seminary and pray with each other, praying to Mary to protect them, to guide them, to help them. We also had a Father-Son Day, a work day where fathers and sons would come over to the seminary and help the seminarians clean the grounds and work around the grounds. Then they would gather and eat and then pray together. And it's just a wonderful thing to see all of that happening at the seminary. It's definitely a very active place.
So good on you. Good job.
Well, Mary, how I'm just curious, since you seem to have a real interest and passion in this area, are you involved in any kind of events or promoting of vocations yourself?
Well, I teach CCD, so I'm doing that right now. I've done a lot of things for the diocese, but I think, you know, families need to know that the seminarians are just regular guys, and just like people choose a major for college, they, you know, have to discern whether they're going to be a priest, and we need to support them in that role.
Awesome. Well, Mary, thank you for what you're doing, and boy, I wish everyone had your heart for this, Mary. We'd see even better things than we're seeing right now. So thank you for what you're doing. Thanks for calling, Mary. We appreciate it. Okay, Father Dan Schmidtmeyer, our guest here on Vocation Boom Radio. If anyone else would like to join the conversation here, we got about 7, 8, maybe 9 minutes left. Are there any particular approaches, Father, that you take? I see on your website, it looks like you have Project Andrew dinners and so forth. What are some of the things that you do to get that word out there, at least get it in front of the young men so that they go, oh, well, I'm priesthood. Yeah, maybe that's something I should think about.
Right, the Andrew dinners, it's something that started with Father Kyle Schnipple, and Archbishop Schnur was very interested. So the diocese has got 19 counties, so it's the southwestern part of the state of Ohio. And so we have an Andrew dinner in the northern part of the archdiocese, which is where I grew up, in the Dayton area, and then also in the southern area, in the Cincinnati area. And so we invite high school age men to come to have a dinner with the Archbishop, to talk to seminarians, priests invite men, parents come with them. And it's just a wonderful time to, like Mary had said, to see that seminarians and the priests are normal people. You know, they're not, a lot of times when I thought about priesthood, it was, you know, I'm not holy enough, I'm not good enough. And they see that, you know, they like sports. They have a family. They love people. They have habits and hobbies and things they like to do. So we have the Andrew dinners. We're also trying this year to do another Marian dinner where we invite all of the different religious communities that are in the Cincinnati area and invite high school women to go to those. We have discernment retreats. We have a number of youth ministers in the archdiocese who have really worked hard with the new evangelization, with praise and worship, and so 4 times a year we have an encounter retreat in Cincinnati. They've started moving up to Dayton also, where it's adoration, opportunity to go to confession, a speaker, praise and worship music, and Archbishop Schnur has made it very clear that all youth ministry should focus on vocation. It's not a question, a vocation isn't a question of what I should do, the vocation is a question of who does God want me to be. And so making sure that we're concentrating on those types of things. And then also getting into the Catholic schools and the PSR programs, working with our homeschool families who I think do a beautiful job of raising their children in the faith.
Well, Father, my career, I'm going on 37 years in radio, about 21 or so of those in Catholic radio. So I have to ask you this, maybe a little bit self-serving question, and I know it's not something that you can quantify necessarily. There aren't any analytics or measuring guidelines or whatever, but having Catholic radio, a Sacred Heart radio in the Archdiocese of Cincinnati and other forms of Catholic media, just share how you feel that those types of things can also help to, you know, toss that seed in there into that fertile ground where maybe it otherwise wouldn't get into a young man's heart.
Right. And when I started in the seminaries, when Sacred Heart Radio was really starting, and I remember the number of men who started coming to the seminary to express interest and discernment really started to pick up. A number of them said it was because they were listening to Sacred Heart Radio, listening to EWTN Radio, watching EWTN on TV, and they really started thinking about it. You know, when you're listening to it in the car, it really helps you focus on those things. And so, you know, for me, I know when I'm driving around, I have the whole Bible on CD, so a lot of times I'll just listen to different books of the Bible, but a lot of times if I'm in an area where there's Catholic radio, I'll search those stations out because there's so many great programs that inspire you to grow in your faith. So, yeah, I'm so grateful that, that God, the Holy Spirit's putting this out there for the people of faith and for the people who maybe don't know Jesus yet, and it's helping them to hear Jesus' voice, and it's helping our young men and women really discern who God wants them to be.
Beautiful. Well, we have about 3 or 4 minutes left here. Father Dan Schmidtmeyer, our guest on Vocation Boom Radio. He is the Vocation Director in Cincinnati, the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. I mentioned earlier, I teased it a little bit, Father, going into the break, but this tab on your CincinnatiVocations.org website, husband or priest, and I think is that really seems to be probably what it boils down to for most men. They may have other concerns or obstacles, but would you say that, you know, for most guys, it's like, man, you know, I really like women, you know, I want to have kids. This really is the dilemma that they have to resolve.
Right. And, you know, for me, that was an issue in my own discernment. And I'm talking to these men, it's something they're really looking at. And the truth is, the man who would be a great priest would probably also be a great husband and father. And the great thing about the vocations is they're all outstanding. And who God wants you to be is a great thing. It'll bring you to joy in your life. Now, a lot of times I think people overthink or overpray or over, well, you don't overpray, but a lot of times you're overthinking or should I do this, not do this, how can I do this? And sometimes it's not really praying. It's more nattering at God, just talking and never letting enough quiet time for him to respond. And so working with these men and talking with these men about this, Archbishop Schnur has often told the men at the Andrew dinners, and as we're talking with men who are discerning, that he thinks all Catholic men should go to the seminary for at least a year or two, not because he thinks they'll all be priests, but because it's the best place to discern who God wants you to be. If you're called to be a priest, you're there already with other men who are discerning it. If you're not called to be a priest, you'll be a better husband and father by learning your faith the way you're learning it at the seminary and how to share that faith with your wife and your children if God's calling you to married life.
Which one was the one who said that? Was that Schnur or Palarchik?
Archbishop Schnur.
He just became one of my favorite bishops. I'm serious, Father Dan. I've heard other bishops say that before, and I don't know how they would fund all of that, but I think they mean it. They're very serious. I would say the time that I spent in formation was far from wasted time. I hope and pray that God used that to make me a better man. But, wow, this is good stuff. And I should correct. I said that the choosing between husband, you know, earthly fatherhood and priesthood, I used the word dilemma, which maybe I should not have maybe used that word, because it's a blessed discernment that a man undertakes. But Father Dan, in about our last minute here, I always like to have priests from your priestly, shepherdly heart to any young men who might be listening right now. You answer the call. God has filled you with joy. You obviously love your priesthood. In a minute or less, what would you say to other young men?
Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid to pursue this, to look at this. Don't be afraid to talk to me about this. I will not try to strong arm anyone into being a priest. If a man's not called to be a priest, he should not be a priest. My job as a priest is to help people on their journey to heaven. And so I love meeting with these young men, meeting with their families, praying with them, giving them advice as far as what is better discernment practices, praying the rosary, adoration, daily mass attendance. But don't be afraid. I won't be hurt. I won't be upset. If God's calling you to be married, I'll be overjoyed, because God loves you and he wants you in heaven.
That's beautiful. Would you give us a blessing, Father Dan, please, before we wrap up our time together?
I would be happy to. God, we love you so much. We thank you for everything you have given us in our life. We ask you to help us help others discern who you want them to be. And may Almighty God bless you all, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father Dan Schmidtmeyer. This is a really fun show. You're really enjoy to work with on the radio. So thanks for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Again, their vocations website is CincinnatiVocations.org. cincinnativocations.org, cincinnativocations.org. Really, really good website. They've got tabs like Hearing the Call, Searching for Answers, Husband or Priest, who is the church looking for, the steps and the seminary, and even, like I mentioned, that other one, any concerns that parents might have about letting their son go, so to speak, and go to the seminary and maybe be a priest. So our thanks to Father Dan and to Archbishop Schnur and all that's going on in that fine archdiocese.